The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. The psalmist in Psalm 32 says, "You, O Lord, are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." And it sounds great, except when you find yourself beset by your own sins, you're not so sure you want to hide in God. Maybe God is part of the problem. And certainly for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God became a huge problem, one that scared them, one from which they hid themselves, one from which they fled. Is that you? We're going to be talking about the Penitential Psalms, part two of a 7-part weekly series with Pastor Todd Peppercorn on these songs of penitence. And I'd like you to join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our email address on this Thursday afternoon, February the 25th, talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter us @issuesetc. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Thanks.
You told us last week that Psalm 32 was about hiding from God or hiding in God. What do you mean by that?
Well, what you have going on in Psalm 32 is it begins with this confession, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." So we're going to see kind of this comparison going on between sin being covered or hiding in God, and what happens when sin is what happens when my sins stay inside myself. In other words, what happens when I refuse to recognize who I am before God according to the law? What happens if I keep silent? And the result is nothing good. So Psalm 32, in many ways, kind of unpacks for us what happened in Genesis 3, the fall. The first thing that Adam and Eve do after the fall into sin is they hide. They hide from God. Why? Because they are ashamed of their nakedness. They know that they have done wrong. That they know that they have broken his holy and just will, and they don't want to face up to that. And a part of what sin does is sin warps and twists how we think God is going to react. They thought God was going to hurt them. God instead was going to save them.
But did they have reason to fear God?
Of course they had reason to fear God. You know, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. God is the only one who has the true power over life and death, heaven and hell. So in that respect, they had reason to fear God, but that's not God's final word to them or to you or to me. If I am kind of left stewing in my own sinful juices, if I am left to my own devices, kind of stuck trying to work this out myself, then if I'm left hiding from God, hiding my own sinfulness from God, I'm like a little kid holding his hands up, you know, saying, "You can't see me." Well, of course God can see you. All you're doing is deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving God. So their fear came from they had forgotten God's true nature, which is one of mercy and love and forgiveness. And so all they can see then is the law, which condemned them. So that's why they hide.
In real life terms, not that Adam and Eve aren't real life, but in real, all they had to do was run and probably duck behind a bush. And then, of course, they'd already sewn fig leaves together to hide their nakedness from one another and from God.
Right.
What ways do we find of hiding or trying to cover over our sins?
Well, we do lots of things to try and do this. I'm always amazed at how in good and pious churches and families and homes, we behave and act as though sin doesn't exist. In other words, I refuse to confess my own sins to my wife, to my children to me. I refuse to kind of acknowledge the way things really are before God. And as a result, I then refuse to forgive. So my own sinfulness, my desire to not face up to who I am according to the law, leads to my refusal to show mercy to all of the people that God has put into my life. And so this vicious cycle just begins, and it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes, and there's no stopping it on its own. I can't kind of break out of this circle by myself. It's impossible. And that's what you see in this psalm is, looking at verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. In other words, the psalmist is confessing and recognizing that as long as he kept silent, as long as he tried to play cover-up. We think we talked a little bit about David last time. We'll certainly talk about David in a couple weeks when we get to Psalm 51. That's, of course, exactly what David does with Bathsheba, is he does this cover-up. He tries to cover up his sin with Uriah. He tries to cover up Uriah's murder. All he's doing is, putting his hands up. You can't see me. And yet that's kind of where the whole thing falls apart, is it took Nathan to point the finger to him and say, you are the man.
You have written, God's purpose is to forgive your sins, but to do that, he has to kill you with the law first. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that in order for God to forgive my sins, in order for me to receive the benefit of God's forgiveness, there needs to be contrition. I have to recognize my own sinfulness. How can God forgive me? How can I, or more accurately, I guess, how can I receive God's forgiveness if I continue to cling to my own sins? If I say I am not letting these things go, I refuse to recognize that these things are wrong. In that context, I don't want forgiveness. And that I think is why confession and absolution is such a scandal and a stumbling block to so many people, is that the idea of confessing, of actually speaking of these dark sins that I think and say and do, that's more honesty than I want. And that forces us to kind of bear up to this whole question of contrition. What does it mean to be in terror of God's law, recognizing the just punishment? This is the thief on the cross. Recognizing that I am under this condemnation and that I deserve it. That's what the psalmist is praying about here, is that God lets him stew in his own juices, so that he can recognize the stink that is really there.
Someone says, look, what you've painted a picture here is kind of an ideal, but I look out in the world and I see people living in profligate sin all the time. I see people who are not attempting to hide from God. They're thumbing their nose at God. They're bold. They're obstinate. They are impudent. They, you can see in their every action, they are in open rebellion to God. They're not hiding from God or wasting away from holding their sin in.
Well, maybe they aren't hiding from us. That doesn't mean that they aren't hiding from God. Not to get too far afield here, but the reality is that so much of the current counseling industry and sort of self-help culture that our country is immersed in is really immersed in that because of guilt, because there are so many people that struggle and deal with guilt, and they're trying to figure out, what do I do with this thing? How do you know? Can I manage it? Can I control it? Can I pretend as if it doesn't exist? Can I, you know, suppress it? Which, of course, is what many people do with guilt. And the answer to that is no. None of these things finally will work. These sins are going to stick with you and are going to be bound to you until God forgives them, until they are flung away from you as far as the east is from the west. I certainly agree that on the outside it does appear as though people are living kind of shameless lives. They don't recognize the consequences. They don't recognize right from wrong. But boy, you don't have to scratch much under the surface until you see a world of hurt and a world of mess-uppedness that needs to be healed.
Mess-uppedness. I like that term. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is our guest. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. You can download a free copy of it at issuesetc.org. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Inside. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Psalm 32, part 2 of a 7-part weekly series on the penitential psalms with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. It's Thursday afternoon, February the 25th. Pastor Peppercorn, you mentioned before the break that the culture is saturated with these attempts to deal with guilt, and it often is in the psychiatrist's office or the psychologist's office. Not to denigrate therapy or those healing arts in any way. Lord knows I need some therapy myself, and I say that right. Seriously. But do you think that people are seeking in the psychiatrist, psychologist's office, or in the medicines they may prescribe, or in medicines they may self-administer, are they seeking there what they should be finding in the church, in the pastor's office?
What's going on, I believe, is that so many people are desperate for answers. They're desperate for resolution. They're desperate for really some kind of justification for their actions and behaviors, which maybe they can't even understand themselves. And certainly, when you have a culture and you have a people that the notion of going to a pastor, confessing your sins and receiving forgiveness, that's just about as foreign, even in our own churches, as anything you're going to find in this world. And so they look for this any place they can find it, and a lot of times it ends up with the bottle, with pills, with all kinds of things. And of course, this is what sin does. Sin takes things that, in and of themselves, are good, salutary blessings from God, like beer, for example, and take it and twist it and sort of turn it in and make it into something that God never intended. And that is another way of hiding from God. That's sort of using God's creation to mimic Him and to kind of ape God and act as if you can find what you truly need in His creation rather than receiving what only the Creator can give, only the Redeemer can give.
Then you talk about how we really get it completely backwards. We think that we can somehow present ourselves to God as pleasing if we can just cover up our sins. And yet God wants the opposite. What is it?
That is exactly right. What God wants, verse 5 of our psalm, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. We're not hiding anything really from God. When we seek to hide from God, we're really what we're doing is trying to cover up our own wounds. But by confessing our sins, by recognizing who I am according to the law, this then is what God uses. God has crushed you. We kind of started earlier with, you know, what does it mean for God to kill you? Well, God kills you with His law so that I can see I am dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. And then when that happens, then God puts his healing salve of His gospel, His word of forgiveness, upon us. And man, what a beautiful, beautiful thing to recognize. I don't have to try and sort of manage my sin. I don't have to try and kind of figure out what cubbyhole am I keeping all of these things in. I don't have to get all of those things figured out. I give them to God. Really, God draws me to Him, I think would maybe be a better way to put it. But I confess them to God, and God takes them. Now, this is Ephesians 3, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Colossians 3.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah, Colossians 3. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So I am now, because I'm baptized, because God has taken my sins into Himself on the cross, I now hide in God. God hides me in Himself so that I need not fear enemies from without or enemies even from within. because I am in Christ.
Talk about the particular ways. I mean, what are we talking about in particular that God delivers this forgiveness to us here and now in this life?
Well, the beauty of God's forgiveness, and this is certainly what we need, Todd. The beauty of God's forgiveness is that it is so concrete. God, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all. He delivers that great work in beautiful, wonderful ways, in holy baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in preaching, in His Word, in confession and absolution, either publicly, privately, any time your sins are forgiven. This is God at work. And God does these things, and He takes this messiness, this mess-upness, as we said before, and he takes it into Himself so that it's no longer my sin. He says, these are my sins. I'm dying with them. You can't have them anymore. These are now mine. That's what it means to hide in God. And what a rush of relief that is to know that I don't have to try and figure this out or fix it or manage it. I receive what God in His mercy gives to me. What a gift.
When you quoted that passage, Colossians chapter 3, I noticed that the language there, your life is now hidden. It is not active language. At least from our perspective, it is passive language, and you have been emphasizing that throughout our conversation, that it is not we who seek out God and somehow nestle up it underneath the shadow of His wings, but it is, in fact, God who extends those wings over us, draws us to Himself. Talk about that with about a minute as we close up.
Well, that's such an important thing to recognize. And, of course, the sinner may not fully realize the extent that God is at work in doing that. But what God does is God, through His Word, draws us to Him. So even in our Psalm 32, you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. This is God's work. It's not even that I am hiding myself. It is God that covers me, Psalm 91. It is God who hides me in those waters of holy baptism. That's kind of the emphasis that I want to put on that, is that this is God's gift that He delivers to you freely. It's not something you do yourself.
Then with only 30 seconds, why should we hide in God rather than hide from God? 30 seconds, Todd.
In hiding from God, what we end up doing is allowing all of this festering stink of sin to continue to swirl around and to continue to cause us no end of grief within and without. Hiding in God means that we are free from these sins, that God has freed us from these sins because He's taken them to the cross. So hiding in God means that we are free from these sins. That's the point.
Next time, we'll continue our series on the penitential Psalms. What's in store for us, Todd?
Next week, when we look at Psalm 38, we're going to see what happens when when your sins pile up. Psalm 38:4, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. And what happens when, in our struggles with our sin, it just piles us down so that we feel crushed? And how does God release us from that?
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, author of the book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Christians and politics. Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University will be our guest. Monday, we'll begin a three-part daily series on answering the objections to unbelievers. Our guest will be Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe. I was down in Key West a couple of years ago, and I'd never seen this myself, but I'd heard about it in the Bible, the bird protecting its young under its wings. And there was a chicken running through the streets of Key West and the chicks all around this chicken. And as I approached this hen, all the chicks still wondering, we're running around, but the hen reached out its wings and scooped them all up and covered them over. I couldn't see a single chick, only the hen. That is Christ covering us over. And to be hidden in Christ is to be hidden in God. And to be thus hidden is to have our sins covered and to be protected by the very one whom we in our sin feared. It's not the devil we have to fear, it's God. But God has removed all reason for fear. He has subjected his own son to the punishment that we deserved, and now we are hidden with Christ in him and safe and protected. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.